Today on CityCast DC, Go-Go is the official music of the city, but should it be? Michael Schaefer and I are not totally convinced, but we are pretty psyched to jam out to some classics with you while we debate it. It's Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. I'm Bridget Todd, and this is CityCast DC.
So wait, you were born here in Washington, D.C., but you are not a Washingtonian by upbringing. You grew up outside Richmond, right?
That is correct. But you are like a lifelong born here, raised here, still here.
Yeah. I mean, there were some like gaps in that track record, but D.C. is home, always has been. But so what you said, like when we first met, that one of the unique things about D.C. to you was go-go music, which I don't know if they were listening to that where you grew up, but tell me, like, when did you first encounter it?
So I hate to say this, and I wish it wasn't the case, but I really didn't get into go-go or really have go-go on my radar until I moved back to the D.C. area in around like 2007, 2008. And probably like a lot of people who are either relocating to D.C. or finding themselves in the area, it was just walking around hearing go-go music played on street corners like Florida Avenue, just being blasted. I fell in love with it really when I moved from DC to San Francisco. And I remember I was trying to explain to people out there what go-go music is and where it comes from. And I was like, oh, it's like a high energy percussion heavy music. And I remember my coworker was like, oh, you mean like reggae? And I was like, oh, no, not reggae. I was having the hardest time explaining it. And I really didn't fall in love with it as this genre that was really an expression of DC uniquely until I left DC because I was so homesick for it.
Right, right, right. And now it's like the official, like the classic example of the homegrown genre in DC that never really struck it big anywhere else.
I don't know about that. Bustin' Loose is a national hit.
Right. But I just think if you can name like the two hits, then it's probably safe to say it's a local taste.
Okay, fair, fair.
No, I mean, look, I grew up in D.C. in like the 80s. And, you know, it was a different time. It was before the internet, because I'm old, and before Spotify and stuff. So you wound up like just osmotically absorbing stuff that everyone else was into. And like you said, walking around town or just listening to what other people were hearing on the radio or whatever, it just seeps in. And I was like a white kid from Northwest who was into like punk and metal and stuff. Like I wasn't seeking it out, but it became like the sort of soundtrack of the city. You'd hear drummers around and, you know, in those days, go-go acts would come up and play up in the upper Northwest. And it was just like a thing. Nowadays, we talk about it like it's this sort of special magical thing. And it was so ubiquitous as to not feel that way then.
Yeah. I mean, the last time that you and I got together, you raised a really interesting point that at first I didn't agree with, but I'm coming around.
Yes.
That you're not so keen on the fact that go-go has been named the official music of D.C.
Right. So like in 2020, the D.C. Council, in their wisdom and in their anxiety that I think most Washingtonians feel about this really rapid demographic change that has happened and the fear that sort of this chocolate city is being eclipsed, decided like, hey, let's name go-go the official music of D.C. And it was like, who can object to that? Because it is homegrown music. And the like old like punk rocker in me was like, no, like we cannot. The idea that grownups, legislative officials, we're going to be naming anything the official music seemed like wrong to me. And, you know, I remember in the like 80s and 90s, the establishment, black, white, whatever, were all very alarmed at go-go music. It was dangerous. It was dirty. It was, you know, associated with bad things. And now it's been taken into the bosom of the establishment, which is great because it's lucky for them, but lucky for the establishment, that is. But like, I hope that there are young people in a basement somewhere who are doing something that would scare and confuse me in terms of music, and that music is not official.
Yeah, so I've completely come around to your point of view. When we first had this conversation, I was like, how do you oppose this? What else would the official music of DC be other than go-go? But now I think that you're absolutely right. And then thinking about like, oh, well, when did go-go have a meaningful presence in my own life? It really has to have been summer of 2020 when all the different racial justice uprisings were happening all over the world. But in D.C., I remember a lot of those uprisings were go-go turnups and like outdoor, like Mochella, like that kind of thing. And you really saw go-go as linked to protest and resilience. And so I think that really speaks to your point that is that something that you want getting the official stamp of approval from the government in D.C.? Probably not, because that sort of goes against the resiliency of it.
And I think we can stipulate that, like, it's better to have a local government that is in favor of a cool local art form than one that is actively against it. It's just that term, official music, it feels like taking something real and vibrant and putting it behind glass in a museum, which, again, it's good to celebrate something, but in the process of putting something behind glass, you sap it of its vibrancy.
I think that's true. I've compared it to other cities. Like back when I was sort of more in favor of it, I really love that in New Orleans, they have a lot of intentionality around the way that Black art is really preserved there. It's because like people come to New Orleans to experience jazz, to experience Black creative expression. And so that you would want that to be reflected in the way the city governs and by the way policy is made. And so when DC named Go-Go the official music, I was like, oh, it's like New Orleans, like a nod to the fact that Black creativity is like such a big part of DC. But I can see how it's also this like meaningless gesture that is rooted in racial and economic anxieties that really doesn't serve anybody, but makes it seem as though it's so progressive, they're doing such the right thing and all of that.
Right. And the difference in New Orleans is like people, tourists go to New Orleans to hear jazz. They go to New Orleans in part because it was this cauldron of creative culture, creative African-American culture mostly. And DC, I love you, baby, but I don't think a lot of out-of-towners are coming here to check out Go-Go. I wish they were, but that's not like our brand. You know what I mean?
It pains me, but I think you're right. Like, I was just thinking the last two times I've been to Go-Go events, it's local. Like, it's not you're right. It isn't the kind of thing people come from out of town necessarily to experience. I wish it was, but it's not.
You know, they named the G League team, the Wizards G League team, owned by Ted Leonsis, the Capital City Go-Go, which is, again, I think that's cool. But it is a bit of a, like, you know, this thing has been around long enough that it's being co-opted for commercial purposes, for branding purposes. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it beats the alternative. But it is, like, a different moment. And to some extent, culture gets defanged when that happens.
And I think, to add on to that, Go-Go historically had fangs. Police targeting go-go clubs and go-go musicians and saying that they invited crime and the seedy element. Like, you can't talk about the legacy of go-go music in D.C. without talking about some of those parts that are less flattering to the establishment. And then so to see the establishment acting as if it's always embraced it as this beautiful thing, it is a little discordant.
Right. And in the establishment's defense, some of the things are maybe not that positively reflecting on Go-Go. There was a lot of songs about women's butts. And they were not necessarily told from like an inclusive body positive point of view. You know?
It wasn't like, oh, that butt is so empowered.
Right.
That butt's going to college.
And I do think, you know, there was like a sort of a class of church lady wagging her finger at Go-Go, which, you know, look, I think I'm a First Amendment absolutist, so songs should be about whatever they want. But I don't necessarily know that that would be the proudest thing to defend.
Fair. The finger-wagging church ladies might have a point on that one.
Right. But your thing about politics is totally right, too, in that it was a big feature in 2020. And I think there's sort of two reasons for that. One is just as a form of music, it is really given to outdoor gathering and performance sort of impromptu. It's not like you have to like tune up and hit all the marks exactly perfectly. It has a kind of come on along quality to it, which is inherently good for like the democracy of the streets. And also, I think at this point, part of its identity is as a like kind of walking, talking, dancing middle finger aimed at the sort of buttoned up, cleaned up, gentrified new DC.
1,000%. When I was doing a lot of protesting in 2020, there would be this like flatbed truck with the musicians on the back of it, and they would just pull up into crowds. It like felt like a dance party. And I would see people who were not affiliated with the protests walking by who would just be like, oh, what is this? I'm going to join. So by the end of it, it was like a massive street party. But to your point around the middle finger to the sort of like buttoned up, gentrified DC, was there ever a better example of that than that spat between somebody at that condo development, the Shay, who wanted them to turn off the go-go music on Florida Avenue, and it became such a big thing. And it's like, I usually try to resist reading into stuff like that because it's so easy, but this one was just so perfect. Like, can you have a more perfect encapsulation of exactly what you were just describing, that button-up, gentrified, white, newcomer element of D.C., really turning up its nose at something that has been part of DC for such a long time.
Well, let me ask you a counterfactual. What if that store had been playing like Motley Crue or like AC/DC or some kind of like...
Oh, shut it down.
Right. I don't mean to parse things too much, but there was a sort of elitist class disdain there that would probably have applied to like lowbrow white people forms of music too. But it did have like more power and pain on the far end, on the other side of the punch, because it was go-go and because it was a black crowd who was feeling like their stuff was getting shut down.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But I also think that it plays into something where I think black and brown folks and low-income folks in DC have spent a lot of time feeling and being told in a million different ways that they are not a priority. And so I think it really wasn't about the music. I think it was just one more way to be told that you're not a priority, your experience is not a priority. And so I agree with you. I don't think it was necessarily about the music. I think it was about simmering frustration that I think some folks feel in the city.
And I think that like that frustration in DC, it's just like a half inch beneath the surface, and it can come out all kinds of ways.
Oof. I love how you put that. The brand new Arbor at Tacoma is built for your most convenient urban living. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant Tacoma, D.C. community or comfortably retreat into a sleek sanctuary all your own, the kitchens have striking dark navy and white cabinets, and throughout the home, there are wood floors and smart home technology. Some homes even have a private outdoor space. With a quick walk to the metro, you can easily head into downtown or stay close and enjoy the retail that's on site. Located at 218 Cedar Street Northwest, the Arbor Tacoma offers brand new one- and two-bedroom condos starting in the upper 300,000s. Visit thearborattacoma.com for more information. That's Tacoma with a K. So thearborattacoma.com.
Let's be real. Lawsuits are not fun. But with Paulson & Nace, at least they're a little easier. Paulson & Nace is a DC law firm in every sense of the word. It was founded here in 1979. The two partners, Chris and Matt Nace, were both born here and are local leaders who care deeply about the DC community. Paulson & Nace handles medical malpractice, wrongful death, and other complex injury cases when someone has been hurt by the negligence of others. And they don't just settle every case. They'll go to court. They'll fight for you. Paulson & Nace has even been recognized as one of U.S. News' best law firms. So, if you have been hurt or have lost a loved one because of someone else's mistake or negligence, call Paulson & Nace for a no-obligation consultation. Visit www.paulsonandnace.com or call 202-463-1999.
Oh, I was going to ask, do you have a favorite go-go song?
I was like Drop the Bomb by Trouble Funk and Work the Walls. But, you know, I mean, it's a kind of music also where it's more about just the constancy than any particular track.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've gone to go-go events where I could not tell you like the name of a single song played. And like, it kind of feels like it just was like one long groove, if you know what I mean.
Right.
If I was asked my favorite go-go track, it would probably be Rare Essence's cover of Ashley Simpson's Pieces of... And the reason why I love that song is that most people are probably familiar with Ashley Simpson, you know, that song. And that I like the original as
She's not the official music, just to be clear.
But that's the thing about go-go. There are so many good covers of songs that you would not expect to be covered by a go-go band necessarily. And they can turn a flop into a bop. And it's just like, I think that example, and again, no shame to Ashley Simpson, because I love that song, the original, but the go-go version is like, they heard something in that song that I don't think Ashley Simpson heard in that song.
You know, the other thing with, I mean, I think it's hard to talk about go-go music without talking about sort of the period of the 20th and early 21st centuries that DC was Chocolate City and the sort of solidarity and so on that came with that. But it is like a period in time, like any other. And there was a period when Washington was like an epicenter of bluegrass music because people from Appalachia. This was the closest big city. And there was a time when Washington was a epicenter of Dixieland jazz, similarly.
I didn't know that.
And it is a good thing that we are not stuck continuing to listen to and have obligatory celebrations of that. Not because there's anything wrong with those genres, but because it is weird and probably not a sign of creative health to press pause on anything in the culture.
That's such a good point. And that I want to be in a city that is always evolving, dynamic. And that's kind of beautiful. And we shouldn't necessarily, try to put something under glass and preserve it the same way forever. Let things change. So we were talking about how go-go isn't really this national thing that people really recognize or respect outside of D.C. necessarily. And I remember a few years ago, Wale, the rapper, who's also from D.C., put out a mixtape that was like very well regarded. It was on the Pitchfork list and all of that. It was Mixtape About Nothing. And it's like based on the sitcom Seinfeld. And a lot of the beats are go-go inspired, go-go infused. And I remember thinking like, oh, this is going to put go-go on the map. Go-go is about to be huge. That didn't actually end up happening. But I do feel like there are some big artists that if they ever wanted to do like a go-go mixtape or do a song that is go-go inspired could possibly be the next Bustin' Loose, right? And so I would love to see like a Lizzo like crossover. I think that would really do it. There's also this really good New Orleans bounce version of the Sade song Kiss of Life, which, was like a really smooth R&B song. But the New Orleans bounce version is very high energy. I could see somebody doing a really good Sade or some other kind of R&B song, but to a go-go beat and really giving it like a new energy. I could see any of those things really putting go-go on the map nationally again.
Or someone could just make School Days Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because that the EU song got big because Spike Lee put it in his movie.
Are you referring to Da Butt?
I am referring to Da Butt, yeah.
They could do a remake, but then it's like really talking about how Da Butt is empowered, Da Butt deserves equal pay, a more like 2022, progressive version.
Yeah, historically not a woke genre, but I think if you were to turn it around, that would be awesome.
Thanks so much, Mike. This was amazing.
It was really fun, and I will see you sometime soon.
Can't wait to listen to Go-Go with you at some point in the future.
You got it.
And before you go, some quick news. The number of students attending DC schools is up 3% this year, the highest increase since they started counting in 2007. Enrollment in the surrounding counties is also up, but it has not surpassed pre-pandemic levels. Meanwhile, police near the University of Virginia have arrested a 22-year-old in connection with the shooting on campus on Sunday night. The suspect, Chris Jones, is a student at UVA, and he used to be on the football team. The three people who were fatally shot on Sunday were also football players, and two other people were wounded in the shooting. And finally, DC Fire and EMS are going to court over facial hair. Yep, you're hearing that right. During COVID, the city banned facial hair, saying that it made protective face masks less effective. The four men suing DC Fire and EMS are Muslim and Jewish, and they say the policy conflicts with their religious rights. That's all for today here on CityCast DC. We had a lot of fun recording this episode, so let us know what go-go songs are on your radar by tweeting at us at CityCast_DC. We'll be back tomorrow morning with even more news from around the city. Bye! What we love about it, how it shaped the city, and the way the city had... What we...
Well.
Y'all didn't hear that.